and help us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Please help everyone that's here to listen very carefully and attentively, not to a man standing up and preach for entertainment or because this is what we do on Sunday morning, but rather that they would allow you to speak to their heart, that their life could be changed through the truth of the Bible. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now in chapter number 4, verse number 10 is where I find the title for my sermon this morning. The Bible reads in 1 Thessalonians 4:10, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." And the title of my sermon is this: increase more and more. Increase more and more. Now back up, if you would, to chapter 3, verse 10. And all throughout these two chapters, we'll see this idea coming up over and over again about increasing more and more. It says in verse 10 of chapter 3, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Look at verse number 11. "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And all throughout these two chapters, Paul is trying to say to them, you have not arrived. You've got more room that you need to grow. You have things that are lacking in your faith. You have things that are lacking in your life. You're missing something in your life. And he said, I'm going to come and preach to you to try to perfect what's lacking in your faith, because you need to increase more. You need to abound more. He says, I know you're doing something for God. I know that you go to church. I know that you read the Bible. I know you pray. I know you go soul winning. But he said, you need to do more. You need to increase more and more and more. You see, many people feel that they've arrived in their Christian life. They get to a certain point, maybe when they first get saved, they first get in church, they start growing and growing and growing, but then they get to a certain point where they feel as if they've arrived. Right. Now, I remember when I was younger and I was maybe an older teenager, I used to ask myself this question constantly: is God pleased with me? And that question just kept going in my mind over and over again when I was 16, 17, 18. Is God pleased with me? And I kept asking myself over and over again, what do I have to do for God to be pleased with me? What level do I have to attain where I am a good Christian and God is happy with me and God is pleased with me? And I could never figure out the answer. I mean, I'd look in the Bible. The Bible didn't tell me exactly how much to read the Bible. It didn't tell me exactly how long to pray. It didn't tell me exactly how long to spend out soul winning. It didn't tell me exactly what level I had to reach where God would say, okay, I approve of you. I'm pleased with you. You have arrived. You are a good Christian. You are mature. You are an adult. And then I realized finally that you will never reach that point in your life, and I never asked myself that question again, because I realized that my life was about increasing more and more and more and more, and I would never reach a point where God would say, okay, I'm satisfied, I'm pleased with you, you're where I want you to be. I'm not there right now, and I'll never be there. And it was a good day when I realized that, because I realized that there was no ceiling to my spiritual growth. There is no destination in your growth. You're to increase more and more and more and more all throughout your life. But you see, many people have made man-made levels of attainment where they say, if you do this, you're a good Christian. You've arrived. You know, we set boundaries and rules and say, well, come to church 3 times a week and you're a good Christian. Go soul winning for 59 minutes and 59 seconds a week and you're a good Christian. I mean, as long as you go 3 times a week to church, go soul winning for 59 minutes and 59 seconds, you go give 10% of your income tithing, and you pray, you know, for a couple minutes a day or whatever they expect, or read the Bible through once a year, and that's all the reading you need. Look, these are man-made ideas saying, well, this is what you need to do to please God. This is how much you need to go soul winning. Look, God doesn't have some kind of a limit on Bible reading of once per year.
Right.
That, you won't find it. I mean, that's a great place to start. And let me tell you something. If you've never read the Bible cover to cover, you need to go out there on that bookshelf, get that chart that tells you how to read it through in a year, and this year, read it through cover to cover. But you know what? Next year, why don't you read it twice? What? Because I'm telling you something. Just because somebody says, hey, read through your Bible once a year, hey, why not read it twice a year? Why not read it 3 times a year? Why not read it 4 times a year? And I'm telling you, there should be no limit to your spiritual growth where you say, I'm the same as I was last year, and I'm this year I'm going to do the same thing, and next year is going to be the same. Hey, I hope I'm going to be doing more next year than I was this year. And you ought to stop and think about something. Where were you at spiritually 12 months ago? Think about that. I mean, go back in your mind to last summer. Think about it, August of 2007. Where were you at in your Bible reading? What was your soul winning like? What was your prayer life like? What was your holiness like? And boy, that's something that needs to be preached. Your cleanliness and holiness in your life. I mean, what level were you at? You say, well, pretty much where I'm at now. Then you're not right with God. Because God commanded you to increase more and more. That's a command. He said, I mean, good night. He said it 4 different times in these four verses that I read to you. He said, you need to abound more. You need to increase more. You need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Growth. What does God expect? Is it a certain amount of soul winning? No. Is it a certain amount of Bible reading? No. Is it a certain amount of prayer? No. Is it a certain amount of involvement in church? No. He expects growth. That's what he expects. You want to know the answer to that question? What does God expect of me? What will it take for God to be pleased in me? Continuous growth is what it will take. That's what pleases God. That's obedience to the commands of God. And so you ought to ask yourself this question. Why do I even come to Faithful Word Baptist Church if I'm not going to change? If I'm not going to grow? What's the point? Why come to a church like this if you're going to stay the same week after week? I mean, there are other churches that have more comfortable chairs. You're laughing because that's every church in the whole city. Hey, there's other churches that have a bigger, nicer building. There's other churches that have a fancier music program. Hey, there's other churches that have a much smoother preacher behind the pulpit that'll tickle your eardrums and you just love to hear his soft, soothing voice resonate in your little eardrum. Hey, there are plenty of other places to go if you want to be the same tomorrow as you were today and the same next week as you are this week. Hey, why come to Faithful Word Baptist Church if you're not going to change, if you're not going to grow, if you're not going to be better when you walk out the door than when you walked in the door? What's the point of it all? Think about that. Well, ask yourself that question. Why do I come here? Hey, the reason that I come to church is because I want to walk in and learn something that I didn't know when I walked in.
Amen.
And when I walk out, I want to be closer to God than when I walked in.
Amen.
And when I walk out, I want to know more, believe more, stronger faith, stronger in spirit. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to win souls more. I'm going to be more zealous and vigilant. Hey, that's what this church is about. Growth. Increase. More. What does God expect of me? More. What does God expect? More than you're giving Him right now. I'm not talking about money, of course. Your money can perish with you. We don't need money in this. We've been in this church for, I started the church, a little more than 2.5 years ago? We've never had campaigns about money, ever. We've never got up and said, oh man, we're short. Have I ever got up and said, we're short on money? We need a little money. Have I ever said that? And man has been here the second Sunday, and you better know I wasn't on that first Sunday saying it. That'd be a great way to start a church, right? Oh man, we're out of money. Hey, I don't get up. Now, have I preached on what the Bible says about tithing? You know, I preach on tithing. Okay, I preach the church. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, but I don't get up here and beg for money. I don't get up here and talk about money because you know what? The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink and money. The kingdom of God is in preaching and soul winning and Bible and the power of God and the Holy Ghost. It's not about, oh man, if we just had some more money, we could do so much more in this church. You know what we need in this church? We need you to go out soul winning. That's what we'll do more. Because I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't cost 1 cent to win somebody to Christ. It doesn't cost 1 cent to open your Bible and show somebody how to be saved. It doesn't cost a dollar to sit down and read your Bible and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't cost a dime. What do we need more money for? A bigger, fancier building? What do we need more money for? A fancier, I don't know. What do we need? We don't need money. What we need is people who say, I'm going to do more. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to preach the gospel more. And it has nothing to do with money. And so we've never been a money type church. Money type of church, you know. And by the way, those kind of churches, it just shows you what's on the pastor's heart, by the way. Money. He's got money on the mind. That's why he talks money. And guess what? The love of money is the root of all evil. And so I'm not, when I say increase more, I'm not saying give more. Whole paycheck Sunday. Put your whole paycheck in the plate. You know what? If you give, you go ahead and give your 10% and you're right with God. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to read the Bible more. You got to pray more. You ought to win souls more. Increase. Look at Philippians chapter 3. One of my very favorite books of the Bible, Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. But you know, this is the world we live in says that if we had more money. I don't even know why I brought that up. But the world we live in says if we have more money, the whole world would be saved. That's the idea that I got growing up in church. I mean, it's like, man, if we just had more money, we could send missionaries all over the world. No, what we need is for the missionaries that are out there right now to get off their rear end and go soul winning and actually win somebody to Christ instead of sitting around on some kind of a Baptist welfare program, which is what 90% of missions is. We sit there and think that we can just put money in the plate. And you listen to me. You come on Wednesday night and throw money in the plate for the missionaries. That does not absolve you of your duty to be out a soul winner yourself. And some people think that they can throw money on Wednesday night. Oh man, somebody's going to get saved because I threw money in the plate. You got to go get somebody saved yourself. Amen. Don't just throw money at the problem. And money is not the answer. Money is not what's going to win the world to Christ. You're going to win the world. I'm going to win the world. And by the way, the world's never going to get won to Christ because... few there be that find it. But I'm going to I at least want to give them all a chance to hear it, is my goal. At least get them the gospel. But look at Philippians chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse number 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now here's a man who's writing from prison, because he's in prison for preaching the gospel. He's being persecuted. He spent decades and decades at this point of preaching, starting churches. Well, I mean, this man, thousands of people are on their way to heaven because of him. I mean, he preached the gospel to all that were in Asia. And yet he says, not as though I had already attained. He says, I haven't arrived. I'm not where I want to be. He said, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Yeah, he was definitely apprehended, all right. That's why he's in jail. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he's still reaching out, he's saying, for a higher level of Christianity. I mean, he's still reaching out for greater service for God. And here he pinpoints the reason why many people do not increase and abound. Why? Because they're living in the past. Look at what he says. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, many people are living on the golden days of the past. Like, oh man, we used to get so many people saved back then. Oh man, we used to do so much soul winning. And oh man, let me tell you about this guy that I won to the Lord. And man, he got baptized. He joined the church. His whole life turned around. And he became a soul winner. And it's like, hey, listen man, that was 10 years ago. That was 5 years ago. What are you doing today? Where's the guy that you won to the Lord last week is what I'd like to know. Where's the person that you're discipling right now and confirming in the faith? Where's the person that's going to be baptized this week? Don't tell me about the past and the golden days of, oh man, back in the good old days. Hey, the good old days are now. This is the good old days of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Faithful Word Baptist Church is in its prime right now. More soul winning is going on in this church right now than ever. And if it were not so, then our church would be backslidden. Then it means our church is dying. It means our church is falling apart. And it's not, thank God. Because we're increasing more and more and more. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't say, well, I'm a good Christian, I've arrived. No, you haven't. You haven't attained. You haven't arrived. And don't look back and say, well, let me tell you about what I did yesterday and the day before. No, what are you going to do today? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation for that one that you're going to preach the gospel to today. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Forget the things that are behind, he said. Reach forth unto those things which are before. You say, well, I'm older. I'm up in years. To me, life is about the past. I don't care how old you are. Forget the things that are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. You know, it's a dual meaning. Don't beat yourself up about a bad past that you've lived. Move on. Forget it. It's forgiven. It's done. If you're saved, it's already paid for. But at the same time, don't relish and live on the glory of the past either. Just forget the past. Forget yesterday. Forget a year ago. Forget 10 years ago. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day to serve God. Today is the day. You say, oh man, this is just how I am. I don't do this. I don't go soul winning. I'm bad about Bible. No. That was yesterday. What about today? Today, you're going to read the Bible today, right? You're going to pray today, right? You're going to be soul winning today, right? Hey, you're going to live for God today, right? Don't tell me about yesterday or last week. I don't care. Neither does God. It's the present is what matters today, right now. But not only that, look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're in Philippians. Just go back toward the front of your Bibles. There's one book to Ephesians chapter 4. But not only should we be constantly growing in our lives. And you say, oh man, I don't think I can read the Bible that much. Or look, I'm not asking you to read the Bible as much as the person sitting next to you or the person sitting behind you. That's not the point. The point is, are you reading the Bible more now than you were last year? That's the point. Are you praying more now than you were praying? Are you going soul winning and winning more people to Christ now or some other time in your past? That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to compare yourself to someone else. I'm asking you to compare yourself with the past and say, am I increasing more and more? Am I abounding more and more? Am I growing more and more? And nobody in this church has arrived. I have not arrived. You haven't arrived. Nobody in this church is where they need to be spiritually. And that's why, by the way, that's why you shouldn't look down on someone else and say, oh man, this person doesn't even do this. Or they only come to church once in a blue moon. Or they only, you know, they don't even go soul winning. Or they don't, you can tell they don't read the Bible, you know, because they open their Bible and there's a cloud of dust that comes out of it, you know. And they leave their Bible here and then they didn't even realize it was missing and whatever. Look, don't look down on other people. Because everybody's at a different stage of growth. And as long as everybody's growing, that's all that matters. And if they're not growing, then there is a problem. But that's between them and God anyway. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This is talking about church. And the Bible reads in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Is that ever going to happen? No. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Is that ever going to happen? No. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we ever going to measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ? Hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we henceforth, he's saying from here on out is what henceforth means. From here forward. Oh, but yesterday. No. From here forward, I'm saying. Oh, well, last week. No. That we henceforth, he's saying now and forward, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, talking about the body of Christ, the local church, and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How many times there does he talk about growing, being built up, growing up? Don't be a spiritual baby. And personally in your life, you ought to decide that you're not going to be a baby anymore, but that you're going to grow up as a Christian. And we have people that in this world that are maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, say, but spiritually there is a baby in their growth. I mean, just because they've physically grown. Now imagine this. Imagine if I had a child that grew physically, but he never grew mentally. Think about this. It's funny, I gotta say this, this is pretty funny. We were down visiting my grandma in Tucson. And we go to this this apartment complex where she lives, and it's a retirement type of apartment. And, you know, my grandma is 87 years old, lives on her own, takes care of herself. She knocked 19 doors last week, soul winning, at 87 years old in Tucson in summer, okay? And so my grandma is a great lady. And we were down there to visit her, and there was this really nice gentleman sitting at the front door, and he let us in, and we said, hey, how you doing, you know? And she said, oh yeah, he's a really nice guy. But she said, they say that, you know, I guess he's, you know, he's getting older, and apparently he has the mentality of a 15-year-old. And I was thinking to myself, you know, because usually you have people talk about elderly people. Sometimes they might say, oh man, he has the mentality of a 6-year-old or the mentality of a 7-year-old. But I was thinking the mentality of a 15-year-old. You know, a 15-year-old is fully developed mentally. I said, well, and I joked around with my grandma. I said, does he like to just play video games? Or should we take him out to pizza or something? And I was like, the mentality of a 15-year-old, does he stay up too late at night? And he won't go to bed? He won't just, I was like, what is that supposed to mean, you know? Because it's not, you know, there's not really a difference mentally between a 15-year-old and a 25-year-old or 35-year-old. But you know what the difference is? Maturity. That's the difference. Maturity. Okay? I mean, the human mind is fully developed at that age. And by the way, I don't even necessarily really like the word teenager. Because you know what they used to call teenagers back before the word teenager was... And you know, did you know that the word teenager was not even invented until the 1950s? You know what they used to call young men? That's what they called teenage boys, a young man. And then they'd call teenage girls, you know what they call them? A young lady. Okay. Because we have this idea that teenagers are supposed to act like teenagers. And you know what that just means? Is act like idiots. It's true. I mean, oh man, you know, you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Act like an idiot because you're a teenager. Don't act like an idiot if you're that age. Hey, grow up. The Bible says to grow up. The Bible says here to grow up in Him in all things. And you know, David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers because thy precepts are my meditation. You see, if you meditate and study the Word of God, you don't have to act like the fools around you that are also 15. And you know, the average 15-year-old today is nothing but a fool. And we call it a teenager, but all it is an immature child in a body that's becoming an adult body. That's all it is. And you know, we don't need teenagers. We need young men and young ladies to grow up. And I don't care if you're 11, 12, 13, 14. I don't care if you're 7, 8, 9. Hey, you should be growing up and getting out of this phase where it's all about fun, 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 party, 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 rah, rah, rah. That is not what life is about. Now, I have fun just as much as the next person. I have a good time as much as the next person. But you know what? When you're a teenager, you ought to be thinking about winning people to Christ. You ought to be thinking about getting a jump on learning the Bible so that when you're an adult and you're 18, 19, 20, 21, you'll already know the Bible. Because guess what? People, when they get to be 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, they're thinking about getting married that age. They start dating, okay? And they start meeting people. And you know what? If you don't know the Bible, you're not going to know what to look for. You're not going to know how to date. You're not going to know how to get married. You're not going to know how to have kids. You don't learn it. Listen to me. I didn't learn about childbearing after my first son was born. So, oh man, what do? I got to figure this out. I didn't learn about marriage when I got married. I said, oh man, I guess it's time to learn about marriage. You know, when I was a child, when I was 13, 14, I was deciding I was going to spank my kids. I was reading the Bible saying I need to spank my kids. This is how I'm going to raise my kids. This is the time I'm going to spend with my kids. I remember when my wife and I were dating, okay, and it wasn't a very long time that we dated, but in the very early days of our dating, you know what we talked about? Oh, we talked about the weather and sports and no, we didn't. When we were dating, you know what we talked about? We talked about how we're going to raise our kids. That's what we talked about things that mattered. You know, because you kids don't realize that you're going to be grown up just like that, and you're not going to know what to do with your life. You're not going to know where you're going in life. You better start deciding now that life's not all about your little teeny bopper rock and roll bands that are straight out of the pit of hell anyway, with the guys with their long shaggy hair, and the girls that are dressed like a hoochie mama and a hooker. And if that's your hero, you need to get right with God and get some heroes out of the Bible and get some heroes that are soul-winning Christians and get some heroes that actually matter for God and not this teeny bopper little world that you live in. It's garbage. Say, why are you preaching on this? Because it's time that teenagers grow up. You know, teenagers ought to be soul winning. Teenagers ought to be reading the Bible. Teenagers ought to be making smart decisions about who they hang around with and not hanging around and palling around with the world and unbelievers and foul-mouthed, filthy, ungodly perverts down at and you'll find them down at the public school and in the Christian school and in the colleges, and you'll find them at work on the job, and I'm around them and you're around them. But you know what? I'm telling you something. I'm not a friend of the world. I'm a friend of God.
Amen.
And you want to know who my close friends are? You want to know who I pal around with in my spare time? It's God's people. That's who. Now, I'm friendly and polite and spend time with people in a work setting I'm kind to them. But you know what? Usually I get out my Bible and show them how to be saved. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't be a friend of the world, teenager, kid. Oh, they're just kids. They're just teenagers. Be a friend of God no matter what age you are. Grow up. And you adults, by the way, it's time some of you grow up.
Come on.
And that's even worse. I mean, it's one thing when a teenager acts like a teenager, you know. But when a 80-year-old man has the mentality of a 15-year-old. No, I'm just kidding. And I think she might have misunderstood that. I don't know. I mean, I've never heard that diagnosis from a doctor. You have the mentality of a 15-year-old. I was like, I told her, he sounds like a pretty cool guy. He sounds like a fun guy to be around. You know, we were just kidding, of course, you know. But the point is, imagine a child's mind in an adult body. Let's say I had a child and he grew up and he got to be my size, my stature, my age. Imagine he's sitting in a high chair and I'm feeding him oatmeal and he's spilling it all over himself. Let's imagine this. Let's say Brother Dave, okay? Let's say we brought Brother Dave up here, okay? Put him in a high chair, put a bib on him, all right? And I get out a bowl of oatmeal and I'm like, Brother Dave, say ah, okay? And I hold out the oatmeal to his mouth and he just goes, yeah, you know, and just bats the oatmeal. It'd be ridiculous. Now imagine if we had a little baby and they did that, we wouldn't think anything of it, right? I mean, if we had a baby that acted that way, and you see, it's time for people like Brother Dave and people that are his age, and yes, I'm preaching to you, Brother Dave, it's time to grow up. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is that Brother Dave doesn't want oatmeal for lunch. And you know what else he doesn't want? He doesn't want squash mixed with prunes in a little jar. You know, where do they come up with these combinations? You know, he doesn't want, like, look, if he wants a turkey dinner, he wants it separate on the plate. Like the turkey here, the mashed potatoes here, the corn here, the gravy. He doesn't want it all blended together in a blender, this brown sludge turkey rice dinner spooned into his mouth. And I bet you he doesn't want anybody to feed him either. Do you think he wants somebody to feed him lunch and spoon it into his mouth? No. When he has lunch, he's going to eat meat. And he's going to cut it up himself with a fork and knife, put it in his own mouth, and chew it himself. And that's what you ought to be doing spiritually, growing up. Don't be this baby that comes in. And by the way, if you don't read the Bible, if you just come to church and listen to the preaching, you're a baby. Because you're coming in and you're like, ah, I'm not dada. Okay, I'm not here to feed you like a baby. Don't come here and say, ah, feed me, feed me. Go feed yourself. Okay? Now, when you come here, it's like when you visit the restaurant. You know, I don't eat at a restaurant breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, for the last few days, that's what we do because we're out of town, you know, working in L.A. But I don't eat at a restaurant breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this restaurant's not even open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This restaurant's only open three times a week. This restaurant's open on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Okay? But guess what? That's not enough food for you to survive. You need to be feeding yourself Monday, feed yourself Tuesday. You say, oh, I can't. Well, you're a baby. You say, oh, I haven't read my Bible since Wednesday night. Then you're a baby. Because you're expecting to get your only sustenance, what's spooned into your mouth.
Right.
You know, and you know, do I have to be one of those parents that chews it up for you and then puts it in your mouth? Because you can't chew it up with your little baby teeth? You know, you grow up, is what I'm saying. You need to grow spiritually. You need to say, I'm going to get home and sink my teeth into the Bible myself. I'm going to get out the fork and the knife and feed myself. Because relying on me to feed you is not going to do the job, I'm telling you. And by the way, parents, don't rely on me to feed your children. You feed them. I mean, you ought to be teaching your children the Bible. You ought to take the time, mom and dad, to sit down and read the Bible to your kids, expound the Bible to your kids, train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And don't rely on just church to do it. You need to grow to the point where you're doing that yourself. Grow up, he said. But not only that, this is talking about the local church in Ephesians chapter 4. He's saying the church needs to grow. Not only should we grow individually, right? That means what? That we should be doing more now than we were last year. We should love God more than we did last year. We should win more souls than we did last year. Read the Bible more than we did last year. We know more. We understand more. We're cleaner, holier, more righteous and godly than we were last year. But not only should we grow to a point where we're feeding ourselves, taking care of ourselves. And you know what? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, when does a person become a man? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You know, it's different for everybody. Because I've known people that were 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and they act like a teenager. And then I've known other young people that were 13, 14, 15 that actually had a lot more maturity and spirituality and soul winning than adults. I'll tell you when you become a man is when you put away childish things. That's when. And so not only should we grow personally, but also the Bible says that the church should be growing. The body of Christ should be edifying itself in love. And so the church should be growing. Now, are we just talking about numeric growth? That's part of it. That is part of it. But we're also talking about just as a church, the whole spirit of our church should be growing. I mean, you should come here and find a more mature church next year than you find today. You know, you should see a lot of the same faces, but they've grown. But they're more godly. There's more people out soul winning. There's more knowledge and spiritual growth. But you know what? We should also grow numerically. And you know, sometimes I hear people say this. Sometimes I've heard people come to our church in the past and you know, from months ago until even recently, I've had people say, well, this church, this is what they'll say. You know, this church is never going to be huge. It's never going to be a big church because Pastor Anderson is preaching hard, he's preaching right, and it's not popular, and this church is never going to be big. I don't ever want to hear anybody say that. And when people say that, if I hear people say that, I usually correct them and say, no, you know what, you're wrong. This church will be big if I have anything to say about it. Now you say, oh man, is that all it's about, just getting big? No. But you know what? When you're fruitful and multiply, it's going to grow. I mean, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee, is what God said in the Bible. And I get tired of this attitude that says, and by the way, have you noticed that our church is growing? It's always been growing. Who put up your hand if you went to our church when we still met in the house? So we got, how many people from the house? Keep your hands up. I want to see how many people were there when we were in the house. At least one service when we were in the house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 people are sitting here today that were still here when we were meeting in the house. Now, let me ask those 20 people, has our church grown? Hey, we've come a long way, baby. You know, I'm just kidding, that's a slogan. But look, our church is a lot bigger than it was then. And you know what? Let me tell you something. You say, oh man, but you know, 20 of these people were there back. But let me tell you something. How many people did we have soul winning back then when we were in the house? About 4 people every week went out soul winning. That's the true story. There were back in the days of the house, we had an average. Some weeks we'd have 10 people out soul winning. But I mean, just if you took an average of just who came, a minimum. If you took the minimum that was just the diehards who were out every week soul winning, 4 people were out soul winning every week. And then you'd have other, you know, people sometimes would be up to 10, 12, whatever. But, you know, just the consistent week in, week out, 4 people soul winning. 4 people. But how many people do we have soul winning now? 4 or 5 times that. Okay. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that anybody who's been at this church knows that this church is growing. And we've only been around for 2.5 years. And I don't want to hear this defeated attitude that says, oh man, this church is never going to, I mean, it's never going to be huge because of the way Pastor Anderson preached. Look, God can build this church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know what? If this is as big as we get, fine. We're not changing the preaching. We're not changing the soul winning. We're not changing the stand. Hey, I'm still preaching just as hard as I was 2.5 years ago when it was in my living room. And 2.5 years from now, I'm going to be preaching just as hard. It's not going to change. Amen. And if we have to change to grow, then we'll stay right here, this size. But you know what? This church will grow. And you watch and we'll see who's right, you or me, whether we grow or not. And I don't like this attitude that says, well, you know, if you preach right, you have to be small. That's not true. That's not true at all. If we've got all these people out soul winning, winning people to Christ, knocking the doors, going up and down the highways and hedges, hey, this church is going to grow.
That's right.
But it's not going to grow so fast that we have to throw things out. We're not going to throw things out of the ship in order to grow faster. No. We'll grow at whatever rate God allows it to grow without compromising one thing. And anybody else who comes to this church knows about the revolving door that needs to be installed in the front lobby. Because we have so many people come and go. You know, visitors come and go. People come and go. People are constantly coming and going, coming and going, coming. I mean, I looked at the visitor cards the other day. You know, the visitor cards we had? We had a stack of visitor cards. Good night. If everybody who's ever visited this church all came to this church, we'd be running over 1,000. No joke. I mean, we have just stacks of visitor cards. I mean, visitor cards and visitor cards, visitor cards. But that's okay. You say, doesn't that discourage you? Doesn't that bother me? Not one bit. Not at all. Keep them coming. Keep them rotating through. Keep that door spinning. I want one of those electric ones that never stops turning. Not just a revolving door, my friend, but I want one of those ones like they have in Germany. Remember we were there? And it's constantly moving. And you just step into it, it practically shoves you out the door. Because, hey, if you don't want this kind of preaching, if you don't want this kind of preaching, I'll help you find another church. I mean, if you don't want to grow, if you don't want to increase more and more, if you want to just live your little comfortable, plain Jane, lame Christian life, then go be comfortable somewhere else. Because God said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. Cold or hot. He said, hey, I would that thou wert cold or hot. And he said to a church, not a person, are you listening to me? He said to a church. He said to a, not a person, listen, he said to a church of Laodicea, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look, I don't want God to ever look down at Faithful Word Baptist Church and say, well, there's a couple people that are hot, a couple people that are cold, but by and large it's lukewarm. I don't want God to spew Faithful Word Baptist Church out of his mouth. I don't want God to say Faithful Word Baptist Church makes me sick because they're so lukewarm and comfortable. I don't want that at all. And so look, if people go, that's great, good. Clean the place out every once in a while. See, we don't want it to get too packed in here anyway, because then we just need a bigger building. And why would I want a bigger building to house a bunch of lukewarm Christians? That's not what Faithful Word Baptist Church is. Faithful Word Baptist Church is hard preaching, soul winning, hellfire and damnation, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, zealous, living for God. Hey, jump in and get on board! And if you want to go to the watered-down Baptist church with Pastor Milktoast, I'll give you the address. I'll give you directions. I'll type it into the GPS for you. And if you want to find one, just open the yellow pages to Baptist, close your eyes, turn around 5 times, and put your finger down, and you'll probably end up at one. But this is a church for people who want to grow. People who want to increase more and more. What are you laughing at? turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. We're almost done, but turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. And Hebrews chapter number 10. Talking about growth, increasing more and more. Is our church going to increase in size? Yes, it will. But you know what? I hope we have the same, listen to me now, the same percentage of people out soul winning that we have right now. Right? Now that would be great. Now, if we had a church that's running 300 with 15 out soul winning, that sounds pretty lukewarm. That sounds pretty messed up. Sounds pretty lame. Weak. But see, we need to keep, as we grow, we need to keep the same proportion of people out soul winning. And we need to keep the same atmosphere that we have right now. Boy, don't you love the atmosphere of our church? I love it. Now, I'm not talking about the preaching, okay? I know you don't. I'm not saying the preaching is a good atmosphere. I'm saying like before and after the service, okay? You know, before and after the service, talking to people, going to the activities. Hey, I think it's a great atmosphere. I love it. I mean, everybody here is on the same page. We don't have these little groups and cliques and everything like that. I mean, everybody's on board. Everybody loves one another, gets along, friendly, a good spirit. I love the atmosphere here. I love this church. I love the people here. And I wouldn't trade any one of the people that come to this church for 100 just random people who come through those doors. And so the point is that our church has a great atmosphere. I don't want to lose that. We have a great percentage of people out soul winning. We're not going to lose that. We have a church of righteousness and holiness and godliness. I don't want to lose that. And so, but you say, well, we got to stay the same size. No, we will grow and increase more and more. Faith Forward Baptist Church, just get, you say, I don't like big churches. I like it small. Sorry, enjoy it while it lasts, but this church will grow. A year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, this church will be continually growing. Because I'm sorry, but I don't believe for one second that it's God's will for there to be 4 million people in this city and a small church. No, God wants those people in here. We got to go get them in here. We got to go out and preach to them and reach them, win them to Christ, and drag them in here and get them in church and train them. Hey, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever God's commanded us. That's part of the Great Commission. And we need to get people in here and do that and not get this attitude that says, well, our church is small because we're right. Yes, no, we're right and we're going to be big and we're going to continue growing like we have for the last 2.5 years, and it's over my dead body that the church is going to roll over and say, well, this is where we're at. This is how big we are. No, we're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You say, when is it going to be enough? Never. Never. It's never going to be. As long as there's people out there, it won't be enough. As long as there's more people out in Maricopa County that need the gospel and need to be saved, need to be trained to win souls, we're not done. And we'll never be done until we hear from Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable and lukewarm. Hot is not comfortable. Cold is not comfortable. Lukewarm is comfortable. God said it makes me sick. Some of you need to turn up the heat in your life a little bit. Put a little pressure on yourself. Learn what it is to live under a little pressure, a little bit of heat on. Why don't you say, oh man, I'm comfortable. I've had the same Bible reading schedule for the last 10 years. Time to turn that thing up. Time to crank it up. You know, turn it up. Okay? It's time to crank up your soul winning. Oh yeah, I'm comfortable. For the last 20 years, I go soul winning for 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Hey, turn that thing up. Turn it up. 2 hours. 3 hours. You know, and I'm not, you know, I understand ladies and everything, but hey, what about the men? Put in some time out there on the streets, you know. Rome wasn't built in a day. And, you know, you go out solely for 59 minutes, man. And you know, ladies, I understand, you know, lady, I don't want ladies out in the heat and getting sick and everything like that. And my wife's pregnant and all this different stuff. But you know what, men, come on, man. Don't we go out and work for 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday? Think about it, guys. We can do a little more than 59 minutes, can't we? I mean, you know, if you want to do the half hour, praise the Lord for the half hour you're willing to do. But you know what? I'm not going to go soul winning a half hour a week. Because I want to keep going until I get many people saved. I don't want to give God 1 hour of soul winning and give the world 60 hours of my work week on the job. Are you listening? Is anybody listening to me? I'm talking about going out there and sweating a little bit. I'm talking about rolling up your sleeves and working hard. And you say, oh man, it's hot. Don't be a baby. I'm talking to the men right now. Ladies, if it's hot, you know, get in the shade, get an ice cold lemonade. But come on, man. Suck it up. Be tough. We live in a generation of babies. Grow up. Oh, it's too hot. Phoenix is too hot. God's the one who made Phoenix. And He made it this hot for a reason. I don't know, maybe he didn't expect anybody to live here. I don't know. But hey, it's hot. But you know what? Go out there and win souls anyway. You say, I'm tired. Do it anyway.
Right.
Say, oh man, I think I can only do one more. Then do one more door. Go out there and work hard. Get something done. Increase more and more. Where did I have you turn? Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Look at this verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and watch this, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, God doesn't want less church attendance, He wants more. Do you see that? He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He says, so much the more. Now more than ever, people need to be in this church. This is back to the church growing. Now more than ever, people need to be in this church right here. And you know, there are people out there, let me ask you something. Do you think that there are people in this city who are saved and on their way to heaven that don't go to a Baptist church that's a soul-winning, King James Bible-only preaching Baptist church? Who thinks that there's people out there in the city? I mean, there's got to be. And I'll bet you there's thousands of them. You know that's right. You know that there are thousands and thousands of people who are saved and not in church. Is that God's will? You think it's God's will that people not be saved on their way to heaven and not in church? No. And yet there are thousands of them. What do you think God's will is? That they get in this church or a church like this. That's His will. And now more than ever, as we see the day approaching, the more wicked the world becomes, the more people need to come to a church like this to get their head screwed on straight. Because they're out in the world and all week long, it's like, oh man, we love the queers, we love the gays, we just want to, you know, want Barack Obama and John McCain to be our mom, and we can be a little baby and they can feed us and take care of us and pay our way through college, and we just need the government to love us and nurture us and rock us to sleep at night, and oh man, you know, don't judge anybody and love the queers, love the pedophiles, watch them on TV. That's what the world's teaching you. So much the more as we see the day approaching, you need to come in and sit down and get some red hot Bible preaching to straighten you out. Amen. Yes, you do. Say, are you going to straighten? I'm not just trying to straighten you out. The Bible's going to straighten. Straighten me out. Right. I used to listen to all that garbage. I used to watch all that same garbage. I used to live around all that same garbage. But you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you know what? I needed a man of God to stand up and scream at me three times a week to straighten me out when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And now I'm returning the favor by doing it to you. Because so much the more we need church as we see the day approaching. So much the more when nobody out there seems to be living for God. You need to come to a place where people are living for God. Because iron sharpeneth iron. You need to get around God's people. You need to get where it's fervent and where people are on fire and where people say, hey, are you going? I'm going soul winning. You want to come with me? Let's go. Let's get in the car and go. You know how I used to get people to go soul winning when I was in Sacramento, California? That's why I'd say, I'd walk up to them and say, hey, you go soul winning with me today, all right? What time you want me to pick you up? 3 o'clock. Yeah, let's go. That's a good way to get people to go soul winning. Hey, come with me. You're going, right? They're like, yeah, okay. Come on, get in the car. That's how you get people to go soul winning. I'm telling you, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You will not go soul winning if you don't go to a soul winning church. Period. Now, there could be exceptions to that. 99% of the time, are you listening to me? If you don't go to a soul winning church, you will not go out soul winning. I know people who are, they don't go to a soul winning church. They used to go soul winning. They don't go to a soul winning church. They don't go soul winning. Because most people aren't just going to get up and get in the car by themselves and go out and go soul winning. It takes a soul winning church to get people out soul winning. And we need more people in this church, so much the more. Look, this church is going to be more important next week than it is this week. And we need more people in this church next week than are in this week. Because we need more people out winning souls, more people listening to this kind of preaching. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm sick and tired of this watered-down, lame Christianity. I wish every lame, watered-down, independent fundamental Baptist church in Phoenix, Arizona would just close their doors. Quit watering down the truth. Quit watering down the gospel. Quit watering down by grace through faith. Quit watering down hard preaching. This church is going to be more important next month than it is this month. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let's increase more and more. But in order for this church to increase, you're going to have to personally increase. And then our church is going to have to increase. And then pretty soon, we'll all be increasing and getting more people in, more people out soul winning. That's the only way we're going to get the gospel to every door in Phoenix, Arizona. And you mark my word. As long as I have something to say, we will get the gospel to every door in Phoenix, Arizona and in Maricopa County. Mark my words. But we're in order to do that, it's not going to be this group that does it. It's going to be a group larger than this group that does it. And you can say, oh man, you're just all about numbers and growth and everything. You know what? Guilty as charged. I'm all about growth. I'm all about numbers. I'm all about seeing, you know why? Because I want 10 people to be saved and not one. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? Because I want 5 people baptized and not 2. Yes, I love numbers. Yes, we believe in numbers. Yes, we want to win people. You say, oh man, why do you want a big church? Because the world's dying and going to hell, and we want to get an army of people out preaching and reaching them. You know, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and the apostles, hey, they reached thousands. And that's what this church is going to do by the grace of God. Reach thousands with the gospel. Don't get on my case about numbers and this. And that. Hey, look, I love numbers. And so did God, wrote a whole book called Numbers. That's how much He likes it. It's all about numbers. Oh, man. Yes, it is about numbers. Yes, it is. Deal with it. I'm easy. Oh, man, people are going to criticize you. You start talking about numbers. Good. I'm going to start posting numbers on our front window. I'll put in our Yellow Pages ad. This is how many people we had saved last year. This is how many people went out soul winning. Because then it'll keep all the people out who don't care about numbers. Because you know, if you don't care about numbers, you don't care about people. Because every number, look at this. Every number represents a human being, a person. If you don't love numbers, you don't love people. Because I could tell you the stories about all the people in this number that I wanted to learn. I could tell you the story of a real human being, a real person that God saved that's going to heaven. And so don't get this idea that, oh, we don't care about numbers and, you know, Jesus, go soul winning the whole year. You know, and if we went soul winning the whole year and had one person saved as a church, that'd be great. I mean, that'd be huge. That'd be big. But you know what? That's not God's will, my friend. Deal with it. God wants there to be hundreds of people saved. And I hope we have twice as many people saved this year as we did last year, which we're on track to do. And I hope next year we have twice as many as this year. And I hope the year after that we have twice as many as that year. And I hope we have twice as many people out soul winning, twice as many people in this auditorium. That is God's will, that we increase more and more, that we grow more and more. He said, blessing, I'll bless you. Multiplying, I'll multiply you. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Grow. Grow spiritually, grow personally, and grow as a church. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please help us to understand the importance of growth, dear God. Help us not to stagnate in our Christianity. Help our church not to become stagnant, to shame people over and over again, week after week. Help us to grow and do more and be more. And God, I pray that you would give me the grace and help me this year to be a better Christian than I was last year. Not perfect, not attained, haven't apprehended. But God, please just help me to be better this year than I was last year. And help me to be better next year than I am this year, dear God. And help everyone in this church to understand that the status quo is not good enough. That their life is not good enough. This church is not good enough. We all come short. Help us to press forward, dear God, all the way to the finish line. Run the race that is set before us, dear God, and push all the way to the last breath for more, more, more. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's sing one last song before we go. 300.